All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Mentioned before we went to the bottom of the hour news break, we're joined by Senator Doug Jones, and lots to talk about with the Senator. And thanks for being on the show. I know y'all are busy right now with votes in Washington, so thanks for carving out a few minutes for us.
Hey, not a problem. Glad to be here.
Hey, a couple of things. It's like y'all figured out, hey, this is in Sullivan's wheelhouse. We could talk about it with him. And outdoors in Alabama, something I'm very interested in. And you last week were talking about CWD, chronic wasting disease, on the floor of the Senate. Tell us why.
Well, it's a growing threat, I believe. We're not exactly sure what it is, but chronic wasting disease, obviously, for all the deer hunters out there, they know exactly what it is. It's a neurological disease that affects the deer population and literally causes them to waste away and can be transmitted for any period of time from one deer to another. It's not seen anything in humans yet, but the jury's still out on that. But it can significantly affect the deer population in any state, and we haven't seen it in Alabama. We're fortunate so far; it's in 26 states, but we have seen it in southwestern Tennessee, yeah, and northeastern Mississippi. So it's getting close, and this bill will just kind of let us study it a little bit more and try to figure out what it is and try to nip this in the bud.
Yeah, you know, talking to the biologists here, wildlife biologists, they say the way this thing spreads most quickly, and probably the major spreads of this, have not been through natural movement of animals. It's been through either bones and spinal tissue of animals, or the animals themselves, you know, as some say, in the back of a pickup truck going 70 miles an hour. That's how it gets transferred.
Yeah, I think that there is some truth to that, but we don't know. I think that's the whole point. Everything that we see right now shows that it's transferred in ways that are not natural movements. But look, it's in 26 states, so we know it's getting transferred. We've seen it in Tennessee and Mississippi. And once it gets here, then it doesn't have to be transferred far. And it can be going, it can go from deer to deer and then spread. And that's the problem. There's just not a lot of science on it. So the bill that I did with Senator Barrasso, who's a Republican from Wyoming, Senator Bennett, a Democrat from Colorado, would just, you know, let the scientists study it a little bit more, get some money, let's figure it out. It's a huge, huge economic boost to Alabama's economy.
Yeah, and you get it. You hunt, and you get why it's important to us here at home. But if you're making the case in Washington, you probably have to make a case on what the financial impact of it is. And I know for right here at home in Alabama, the loss of that would be not only for our psyches, but for our economy, it'd be huge. It'd be bad.
Yeah, well, no, it's a great point. But you know, I think nationally, the hunting industry is like $40 billion, in Alabama alone, it's like $2 billion. I mean, it's a very important part of our economy. But you mentioned something that's just as important. I mean, it is important to our psyche. It is a way of life for so many people in our state and so many other states. You know, I'm assuming based on this conversation, you're a deer hunter.
Oh, yeah.
I am. I was out there the last day of season if I was able to get out there. And it's so important that we do. And that's why we just got to stop it in its tracks.
Okay, and I want to talk about, as we talk about money and wildlife, and I applaud you on what you're doing for CWD. Now on to what our fisheries mean. And this one, even though fishing is a big deal all over our state, I'm talking about the Gulf Coast, though. When you talk fishing and you talk about what it means to our economy, you're talking about Mobile and Baldwin counties.
Yep, absolutely. But this is a big deal for Mobile and Baldwin counties, and it's a big deal for recreational fishermen that come in to Mobile and Baldwin counties.
And we welcome y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether you live in Alabama or outside, people come into Alabama to fish. So we've got to keep up what we can for all the tourism and all the folks that are living down there on the Gulf Coast.
So this Modernizing Recreational Fisheries Management Act, we've heard it called the Modern Fish Act. Can you tell us what it does? I mean, put it in terms I can understand.
Sure. It's going to allow for a better collection of data. You know, our red snapper in general, I mean, it's just kind of a random. Every year we get, limits here, limits there. It also is going to give them an opportunity to collect better data, to see where the fish are, how the population is growing in the Gulf. It looks at a lot of different things and also tries to equalize and recognizes that recreational fishermen do not catch the same kind of limits that the commercial fishermen do. And it eases that a little bit to make sure that the recreational fishermen are treated fairly.
And if you look at the dollar, kind of got, if you ever get by the office here, I have a whole folder, Manila folder, for studies from a decade and a half from Texas A&M, LSU, different schools studying the actual dollar amount value. And the highest return on investment for reef fishery is recreational anglers. It's Senator, it's 4-1 on other. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah. No, it is. It's a major thing for the country. I mean, you know, look, we had senators from Oklahoma, Hawaii that were all part of this to try to make this bill better. And you know, this thing actually got introduced before I got into the Senate. But I learned a lot in the last couple of weeks of the Senate session here, because this bill was just kind of dead. It was just not going anywhere. And I had heard from so many people that I just took it upon myself to really work my colleagues, because there were questions about it with some colleagues, and then got over and made sure it passed. And it got part of the unanimous consent to pass. And I'm really proud that it's something that I could get over the finish line.
Well, I'm glad you did, and I'm glad you picked it up, because so many times I would talk with Congressman Bradley Byrne, and he would talk about things that had gone to the Senate. And I said, hey, what happened? You passed this, you worked in the House, and this went up. And he said, it's sitting in the Senate, Sean. It's sitting in the Senate. So,
well, it's sitting in the Senate. But again, you got to work both sides. You can't just stop. And I appreciate the fact that it passed the House and Congressman Byrne was on there. But it takes more than just simply doing it in one side. You know, when this past year, in December, I was on the phone to members of the House of Representatives on a couple of other bills that I got passed, the Cold Case Records Collection Act, a bill for rural farmers. You got to work both sides, and that's what I did. And I think if it might have been worked a little bit more, it might could have happened. But it took me getting not only, work in the Senate on that bill, but it also takes working on both sides. It takes working on both houses. You can't just, you know, throw up your hands and say, well, I've done my job, now y'all do yours.
Well, I guess, you know, my frustration when it wasn't getting the attention in the Senate is to where I'm sitting, and I'm sure you're going to be able to educate me otherwise because it's Washington. But that is, maybe bipartisan is not the right word, but it is, there's got to be Democrats and Republicans that have constituencies that this is a big deal to. Correct.
No,
I mean,
there's no question. And we did. It was a bipartisan bill. Senator Wicker from Mississippi was on it. Former Senator Bill Nelson was on it. Again, Inhofe from Oklahoma is a Republican. Schatz from Hawaii is a Democrat. It was a very bipartisan bill. Sometimes you just get caught up in the rush to try to get things out of here, and it takes a special push. That's what I did. I just thought it was so important that I really just ended up taking the bull by the horns to make sure that I went to talk to all the colleagues. There were some senators that had certain questions that we cleared up for them in the bill to make sure that it didn't affect their states and different parts of the country. And it's those little things that can just, you know, have a bill held up a little bit in the House or the Senate, and you just got to work it. You got to continue to work it. Not everything has smooth sailing, and there's a log jam at the end of every Congress. There's a huge log jam, and it takes somebody to just actually work it. And I did more, I think, than even the prime sponsors, which was Senator Wicker and Senator Nelson.
Just joining us, talking to Senator Doug Jones about this. We talked CWD bill, and we're also talking about the Modern Fishing Act. With this, because I think you said something important that worries me. You said, you know, trying to get something done and make sure it's working for, you know, you got a sponsor in Hawaii and you got a sponsor in Alabama. You got somebody in Oklahoma, you got somebody in Florida. You have different kinds of fisheries, and that's one of the things that I've always worried about, because I think sometimes from a federal level looking down, you want to apply, and I like rule of law and I like applying laws equally, but not all fishery. I mean, fisheries are a different thing. I mean, what is the case in the Pacific Northwest is not the case on the Northern Gulf Coast.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think you just had to point that out and to make sure there was language in the bill to recognize that. And that's what we did at the end of the day, is to make sure that folks knew that this act was going to, almost, I won't say exclusively, but primarily, to the Gulf of Mexico. You just got to do that, because you pass a bill and there's always I say always, there's a lot of unintended consequences sometimes, and you don't want that to happen to another state that nobody intended for the regulation to apply to them. And so we had to work through that in the last 2 months before the end of the Congress.
Now, the more we can hand over to state control, you know, I know we're using exempted fishing permits now and doing that, but I mean, I think the people most concerned, I mean, you just laid out the case monetarily and to the recreational value of living here, we're going to be the most fiercely protective of this of anybody.
Yeah, that's true. There's no question about it. And but you know what? I think folks recognize that. And despite the fact that this was federal legislation, people recognize that, and they want to support. You know, look, I had Florida senators, I had Georgia senators on it, I had the Mississippi senators, the Louisiana senators. You know, when you get a broad section like that, people understand that this is important to not just a state, but to a region.
Senator, before we finish up, I know you got to run here in a second, but I was actually talking to Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News earlier this hour, and he said when he was in Washington, he got to sit down and talk with you, and he'd asked you about the William Barr confirmation, and you said right. You're getting ready to get on a phone call with him to ask him yep. a few more questions. What did you end up deciding on that confirmation?
I voted for the Barr nomination. I was one of three Democrats to do that. You know, look, I'm a, as you know, I'm a former Department of Justice. Mm-hmm. I'm an alumni of the of DOJ,
right.
both as an assistant U.S. attorney and as U.S. attorney, and I got a special affinity for the department. And I felt like that, I felt like Bill Barr is a stabilizing force that we really need right now. There's been some turmoil in the Department of Justice. You know, our friend Jeff Sessions had a kind of rocky tenure, and they need some stability, and I think he brings that. He persuaded me. I think he feels very strongly about allowing any special counsel to go forward, but at the same time, you know, making sure the public is aware to the extent that the law allows it of any report that comes out. So I felt very comfortable voting for him, although most of my colleagues didn't, at least on the Democratic side.
Right.
But I felt very comfortable voting for him.
All right. And speaking of votes here, do you have any idea when? Well, I guess first question is, have you gotten to read through the 1,200 pages of the spending bill? And when will that when are you hearing that comes to you for a vote?
I think it's going to come in the next hour, to be honest with you. We have been going through the bill. We've been going through the summaries that have been provided to us from staff, because we've had staff not only in my office, but both in Democratic and Republican staff, Senator Shelby in particular, have been working around the clock to make sure people understood exactly what was in that appropriations process. And there's some really good things for the country and for the state, and I feel very good about it. And I'm really proud of the way Senator Shelby and Senator Leahy got this job done. I've said this, Sean, for a long time. If we could just let them do their work, they would get things done for us.
So you are you feel good about what's in it? You feel good about voting yes?
Oh yeah, I plan on everything I've seen.
Everything you like in there, okay?
Yeah,
even the spending.
You know, look, there's border security. As I think Senator Shelby said, it's a down payment. There'll probably be some more that we'll talk about and look at this year. And remember, this is not just for Homeland Security. We're funding Department of Commerce and Justice. And there are things in there that I think add to so many things that are going to be very good. So I just feel really good about where we are. We should have just been able to do this in December. To be honest with you, I think if in December we could have kept the government open for a little bit and did this then, we would have never had a government shutdown.
And it's 50, I don't know, the mileage has changed, but it's 50 or 55 miles of pick your day, wall, fence,
right.
What barrier, whatever it's going to be, and you're good with that part of it.
Well, I'm good with that because let me tell you what happened when you got that conference and when people got together. You know, they brought people in. I said starting in December, we need to see a plan and we need to hear from experts. I don't need to hear the politicians tell me what we need to do to secure the border. I need the professionals. And so the administration came over, brought their experts in, talked to the conference committee, and this is what they came up with for at least this appropriation bill. We'll see what happens down the road. So if it was appropriate and it's something that they could agree on, I'm good with it.
All right. Senator, thank you for your time. We'll get you back on the show hopefully very soon.
Okay, Sean. Thanks for you.
All right. Senator Doug Jones joining us right here on Midday Mobile. They are going back to vote. I guess a little light comes on, the bell comes on, and then they got to go vote. So little take there from the senator. We'll take your calls when we get back and wrapping it up here on Midday Mobile. Paul Feinbaum on the way at 2. Our phone number, text line, 343-0106.